For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin. Some Civil War historians are calling it the single most important piece of scholarship to come out of the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. A new study has raised the official death toll by nearly 20%. Joe Corcoran asked our Civil War experts, Dr. Jack Thacker and Dr. Glenn LaFantasy, for some perspective on the numbers and what they mean in human terms.
Actually, most Civil War historians were convinced that it was a major undercount. And it's been an off-and-on discussion, but nobody has ever, until now, tried to come up with a way to correct the figures.
Yeah, now this new study from this history demographics professor, J. David Hacker, says the number of total dead is closer to 750,000.
Yes.
That's a staggering number, not only then, but even now.
It is, and the sheer fact is we're never really going to know what the total casualty rate, what the total mortality rate was in the Civil War, simply because those records really don't exist. And historians have always been aware since 1865 that Confederate losses, for one, were higher than reported. But there was also that sneaking suspicion that Union deaths were also undercounted. So this new study has caused a great deal of reaction, most of it positive within the profession. But it was also interesting to see that this broke over into the popular media and got some coverage, which is nice because this sort of thing doesn't always get out to the public.
Well, I imagine, just as I said, because the number in itself is so staggering, up to like 3% of the total population of the country at that time.
Yes. What's interesting is that although he doesn't emphasize this, Hacker says that the margin of error is actually between 752,000 and 851,000.
I guess.
So there's 100,000 margin of error.
I agree. It could be as high as 800,000 or close to it. But let me just give you one example. There were 70,000 amputations during the Civil War carried out by Union doctors. Well, most of those amputations, I'm sure, almost all of them are listed as successful, and they are listed. Those people are listed, unless something happened immediately after the surgery, they're listed as being wounded, not being dead. But what happened is soon as you lost an arm or a leg, then you were taken out of service.
Sent home.
And sent home. And that is the problem. The other problem is, as Hacker points out, the vast number of people who died in the Civil War, more than 50% died of disease. They did not die of wounds. And the other part of it is, in 64, the Union forces and Lee both were advised to minimize the number of people killed in battle for political reasons, and the war weariness on both the North and South side. And as a result, the numbers are suppressed. Mm-hmm. And any way they can, they just don't list them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Hacker also in his study mentions he's including death toll from what he calls guerrilla warfare in some of the border states, the
yes.
Missouri, Kansas, and those populations out there, even more so than the South, were almost no reporting of some of the African Americans, then Hispanics, American Indians. He's including a lot of those figures in this new figure.
But he also admits at the same time that getting at those kinds of numbers are among the most difficult. If you're out in your farm field and a bunch of marauders come riding through on either side, say you're in Kentucky or Missouri, where these sorts of things happen, and they kill you, are you going to be counted as a war death? Is that news really going to get out, or is it only your widow and children who mourn for you, and then that's the end of it?
Does this give some perspective now about why it took not only the South but the country so long to recover from the Civil War with all these deaths?
Well, these deaths, in modern terms, The 752,000 figure that Hacker uses would be equivalent to 7.5 million in our own time. I mean, just think of losing right now from our own population 7.5 million Americans over that time span.
More importantly, though, and that is that these are the 18 to 30-year-olds. These are the people in the prime of their life. And so as a result, you're talking about a horrific loss to in production. And the South was completely devastated by the war. And the South really hasn't come into its own until after World War II, really in almost the 1950s.
Your population is going to fall off, obviously, just counting the dead. But there's not going to be new population to replace those dead soldiers. Because they're not there to have families anymore. I mean, when you think about it in those terms and think about the legacy of the war and then what this new study really means, there's just huge significance that comes out of the fact that 20% more men died in the Civil War than we had reckoned with earlier. And that just makes and increases the tragedy of the war, the human elements of the war. This may be a statistical study where the numbers and the tables make me go a little blurry-eyed, quite frankly. But the outcome of this study is one of human elements, human terms of what we really lost in the Civil War, what the cost of that war was in blood.
There's also another element here, too, and that is you have all these people who died in cases where there were regiments almost wiped out. They all came from the same place. And so you had a disproportionate loss in various places that were never be made up. And it changes the entire composition of villages and towns all across the North as well as the South, because they all were recruited. These regiments were all recruited from the same place.
So that can mean that the young men of any given community, North and South, have in practically one fell swoop or realistically in one battle, the entire young male population of a community totally wiped out.
Dr. Jack Thacker is a professor in the WKU History Department. Dr. Glenn LaFantasy is with the Institute for Civil War Studies at WKU. For WKU Public Radio, this is Joe Corcoran.